glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram.
Ek Omkar Satnam करता पूरक निरपार निर्वैर अकाल मूरत
ओम श्री साईराम लविंग प्रणाम्स एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ आवर सद्गुरु पूर्ण अवतार भगवान श्री सत्य साई बाबा गुड मॉर्निंग एंड साईराम डियर लिसनर्स Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You're tuned to Radio Sai's Asia Stream coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today is the 10th of December 2015 and the current time in the ashram is exactly 43 minutes past 9 a.m. Indian Standard Time. And the temperature outside our studios right now is a very pleasant 23 degrees Celsius. Today we are expecting lows of 20 degrees Celsius and highs of 31 Celsius. For our American listeners who are yet to learn metric, that is a minimum of 68 Fahrenheit and a maximum of 87 Fahrenheit. As you may be aware, it has been unseasonably cool here for the past 1 month in Prashanthi Nilayam. And so our temperatures, however, are threatening to rise to seasonal levels from next week. Meanwhile, our rains and cool weather here was definitely great. But the city of Chennai in neighboring Tamil Nadu has been through the worst ever floods in the past 100 years. And the residents and animals in that city have suffered enormously, as you might have seen on the news. What a deluge Chennai has suffered. And how much have we all been praying to Mother Nature to have mercy on everyone there. Well, where there is distress, Sai is always there. And so his carefully crafted instrument, the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization, has been up and about doing what he taught us to do best, to serve all and love all and bring relief to everyone in the organized and disciplined manner that have become the characteristic features of the Sai Seva organization. Our Seva Dals have been working round the clock since December 1, not only in Tamil Nadu, but also in neighboring Karnataka, Kerala and Andhra Pradesh. And right now, for the past 3 days, all hands are on deck. The Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization Chennai Relief Program has kicked off with relief materials pouring into Bhagavan's Chennai abode, Sai Sundaram, from all Sai centers all over the state and from Sai Seva centers in neighboring states. As we speak, dear brothers and sisters, Sundaram is a beehive of activity with Sai Seva Dal, Balvikas, children, Mahilas and others engaged in sorting the materials, inventorizing them, repacking into standard boxes to be sent to the disaster areas. More than 50 IIT students have also joined the relief work. It is not only our devotees but others who want to be part of a planned and organized relief activity that are pitching in. The Sri Satya Sai Seva organization plans to serve 20,000 families with relief materials in 70 identified locations. Each relief box which is being delivered contains the following: 5 kilos of rice, 1 kilo sugar, biscuits, tur dal, salt, drinking water, bed sheets, dhotis, sari, candles, match boxes, pepper, mustard, chili powder, zira or cumin, coriander powder, milk powder, tamarind, tea, turmeric powder, washing soap, toothpaste, toothbrush, mosquito coil, glucose, Sabina dishwashing powder, sanitary napkins, sleeping mat, Swami's calendar and vibhuti. Where required, children's clothes are also being given. According to the reports that we are receiving minute by minute, our Sundaram in Chennai has been utilized to the fullest, every corner, every tile, to run this relief operation effectively, efficiently and systematically. The main hall is being used to store relief materials, and this includes Swami's dais, Swami's residence upstairs and the lotus balcony from where he used to give darshan. Everything is being used to optimize this operation so that we can bring maximum relief to maximum people. So much so that even the jhula room of Swami has been utilized. I believe it's a really touching sight to see how this place of worship is being used selflessly in God's name to serve Him through the people who have been affected by these floods. Children from as young as 10 years of age to seniors who are 80 years old and above are working with inner dedication which no paid labor can ever bring to any team. Interestingly, many non-devotees and volunteers are seeing the quality of operation at Sundaram, and this is inspiring them to join us and lend a hand. Relief material is not just being delivered by us, by our organization, but many others are pitching in to give us a hand because they can see the love, the dedication, the discipline and the professionalism with which this entire operation is undertaken by Baba's Seva organization. Now, relief material is coming to Sundaram from Sai centers across whole of Tamil Nadu and the neighboring states, as well as from corporates and donors because of the goodwill of Satya Sai organization's name. Donors are sure that their materials will positively and most definitely reach the public in the best possible and efficient manner, and they know that every person who is handling this is the most honest, upright and committed citizen of the Chennai city. As we speak, dear listeners, clean, nutritious food is being cooked with love for thousands in Sundaram. Over 20,000 boxes containing essentials are packed for relief on a daily basis. And this list of essentials that I read out earlier to you was personally prepared by Bhagwan and given to his organization during the tsunami of 2004. So just imagine the magnitude: 20,000 bars of soap, 100 kilos of rice, 20,000 kilos of dal, 20,000 liters of cooking oil, huge, mammoth. Everything is being sorted and the supply chain is managed professionally with love and discipline. The way the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization and its volunteers, the Seva Dals, operate has won the admiration of everyone, be it the government agencies, the armed forces, the NGOs, the corporates, and of course the Chennai residents. Everyone has great confidence in the way the relief work is being handled by the Sai organization and its Seva Dal volunteers, and the Sai people have unflinching confidence in the compassion of our Lord to fulfill His sankalpa to help our sisters and brothers in need in the city of Chennai right now. Everyone is working with unity, with efficiency, with honesty and love, because we see the recipient of our hard work as yet another embodiment of God. How smart was Baba to have taught us so early in His mission that service to man is indeed service to God, and that the hands that serve are holier than the lips that pray. His wisdom and His light are galvanizing this movement to achieve great goals of bringing His love and consolation to thousands of affected families each day in Chennai right now. Dear listeners, this is really huge, and I urge you to stay tuned to our program, Service Love in Action, for more details about this mammoth humanitarian relief work being undertaken by our Lord's instruments under the direct guidance of Mr. V. Srinivasan, the All India President Emeritus of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization, and under the guidance also of the leaders of the Tamil Nadu State Sai Organization. And with His grace, our teams are making such a loving impact on so many. My colleague, Brother Raghu, just recorded over the phone an interview with Mr. V. Srinivasan, which he will share with you at 11:30 a.m. That gives you a very up-to-date account of exactly what is happening in Sundaram right now and how you and I can participate and also make a difference no matter where we are. So, dear brothers and sisters, please stay tuned to Radio Sai till 11, all through the day, especially at 11:30 when Raghu will play this interview with Mr. V. Srinivasan on his segment called Service Love in Action. And Mr. Srinivasan just recorded this interview with us from while he was going to Sundaram over the phone about maybe 15 minutes ago. So this is a must listen. Now, apart from this Chennai update, today on Morning Glory, I have lined up for you a brand new Learning with Love interview, which I'm pretty sure is going to leave you in splits and in awe, and I hope it delivers a lot of learning for you. My guest is a very interesting person, a NYPD detective from America, and his name is Detective Sai Krishna Bharadwaj. This officer of the New York Police Department shares the lessons he has learned growing up as a Balvika student and how those lessons define his life today as a law enforcement officer. Over now to my Learning with Love interview with Detective Sai Krishna Bharadwaj of New York, USA, which was recorded right here in the Radio Sai Studios on the 16th of October, 2015. Have a listen, please. Sai Ram, dear listeners. It was sometime in September 2013 that a television show, Breaking Bad, which was about busting drug-related crimes, had millions around the world gripped in suspense as to how it would end. So much so that on his final day, even Mr. Warren Buffett, that is, the Warren Buffett of Berkshire Hathaway fame, tweeted, "Not even the Oracle knows what will happen tonight." Now, in that state of mind is when I ran into a young detective from the New York Police Department at, of all the places in the world, right outside the Western Canteen in Prashanthi Nilayam. And we got talking instantly about Breaking Bad, The Wire, and so on, till I asked this young detective his name. Turns out that Detective Sai Krishna, yes, you heard it right, Detective Sai Krishna Bharadwaj of the NYPD is a young adult from the Sathya Sai Baba Centers of Manhattan and Flushing in New York. He has gone through the Sai Spiritual Education classes from Group 1 right up to the Sathya Sai Young Adult Program. For the past 10 years, Sai Krishna has been employed with the New York City Police Department, where he presently holds the rank of detective assigned to the Narcotics Division. He has covered various areas of northern Manhattan, trying to clean up the streets of the city by ridding them of drug users and drug dealers. His work has not been easy and actually extremely grueling at times. But Sai Krishna credits his time in Sai spiritual education in helping him to become a better law enforcement officer so as to perform his duties in light of Swami's teachings. Sai Krishna is a graduate of the John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York, from where he holds a Bachelor's of Arts in Criminal Justice. Currently, he is studying his Master's of Science in Security Management to further expand his knowledge in the public safety field. Sai Krishna firmly believes that going through Bhagwan Sai's spiritual education program and being an active young adult in the New York City area has molded him to become the man that he is today. His guidance from the SSC gurus always helped him in his decision-making process in life and further guided him as to how to do Swami's work. He is also an extremely grateful child of his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Govinda Bharadwaj, who every week would bring him to classes, be it a class 20 minutes away from home or sometimes an hour and a half away. So today, dear listeners, I'm quite excited to welcome for the very first time ever a detective to our program, Learning with Love. Sai Ram, Detective Sai Krishna Bharadwaj, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's quite an interesting moment for us here in Radio Sai to have a detective with us. So let me begin by asking you, you've been in Swami's fold since the time you were born. Your parents are long-time devotees.
Yes.
So much learning must have happened because of your association with Bhagwan and your ability to interact with him in person since you were a baby. Can you share some lessons with us, please?
Some of the lessons I have learned, be it as a young boy to present, is we have to remember that whether we like it or not, Swami is in everybody. That helps me, especially in my job today as being a detective in the New York Police Department. Along with that, all my lessons that from SSE, patience being key, love all and serve all, doing Narayan Seva, all those were very important lessons, core lessons that definitely I firmly believe, as you said in your introduction, that have helped me become the man I am today, and I do pray to Bhagwan that it carries me further till I breathe no more.
And when you said, whether we like it or not, Bhagwan is in everyone, you're dealing with criminals, the ugly underbelly of society, in one of the highest crime rate cities or areas of a city that is known for its criminal record, mafia, mob, mobsters. How does that pan out?
Dealing with the criminal element, we have to remember that, yes, they are the underbelly of society, as you said, but Swami is in those not so nice people as well. So Swami would expect of us that it's our duty and responsibility to treat them as nice and loving as we would somebody who may be the most caring person in society. My duty and responsibility as a detective with the New York City Police Department to ensure that I treat everybody equally and fairly. Yes, the underbelly of society may have done wrongs that go against our norms, but I'm not the judge. I'm only the enforcer of the law. I've also come to realize that throughout 10 years of being a police officer and detective, that work truly is worship. Many times I have missed Narayan Seva programs. I have missed certain Sai Bhajan, Sai programs, Sai functions because of my schedule with the police department. And it wasn't until some years in that I realized, you know what? I may not be standing in the line serving soup, pasta, bread, juice, and giving other clothes to people in the Narayan Seva line, but at least I'm doing my work, my seva to Swami, that I'm keeping a community safe and ridding them of the criminal element in certain parts of New York City. I've already touched upon another lesson that whether we like it or not, Swami really is in everybody. And sometimes it's extremely tough to realize that, just like our duty as police officers is tough. Nobody said life was going to be easy. Another lesson learned that I can touch upon is if you think love all, serve all doesn't work in the short term, it definitely does work in the long term. And I can give you an example. I can give you several examples, actually, but there's one that I keenly remember. It was a couple of years ago, and I'll give you a short-term example as well as a long-term example, excuse me. It was a couple of years ago, and it was my turn to bring the prisoners down to the courthouse. And I had one prisoner in particular. She was a heroin addict who was 22 years old. And if you looked at her, you thought this person was 60 plus. And I started a conversation with her. For whatever reason, I don't know why. I usually keep my conversation to a minimum. I just take basic pedigree information, name, address, date of birth, who do you want to call? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Something just came out of my mouth, and even my partner looked at me, and I said, "Ma'am, when was the last time you ate?" And she even looked at me, and it was a Saturday, I distinctly remember, and she said, "Tuesday."
Oh, God.
And I had the same reaction you just did, mm-hmm. And I said, "You last time you ate was Tuesday?" And she proceeded to explain to me that she had gone on a drug binge. Mm-hmm. Now, to explain to the listeners who may not be familiar, drug binge is that's all the addicts will do. 24 hours a day. try to get their fix. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, and I said, okay, I'm going to get you something to eat. I'll be right back. So I went to the local deli. I don't really know, you know, that most of the prisoners we encounter are non-vegetarian. So I have to ask. I said, give me a sandwich that is filling. And this 22-year-old girl was no bigger than the width of my pinky.
God.
And she was...
So wasted of it.
It was... She had...
needle marks?
Track marks. They're known as track marks. That she had was injecting.
Mm.
You could see where she...
Under her nose.
Where she was snorting the heroin, that she had markings here. You could see her eyes. Basically, her whole body was withering away. So I went to the local deli, which was a block away from the precinct. I told the deli guy, just give me a sandwich on a hero roll, put everything in it, give me a bag of chips and a can of Coke, $5-6, okay, no problem, have a nice day. I remember going back, and my partner hasn't said anything to me at this point. And I told him, I said, cut the sandwich in half, because I know she's going to be hungry later. So he gave it to me in a bag. I had everything. And we took her out of the van, and I sat her down and put the handcuffs in such a way that she could at least eat her sandwich. She wasn't violent. She was very compliant. We have to be careful as police officers whom we go the extra mile for, because sometimes there are prisoners who may take advantage and try to do harm to us. So safety is paramount for not only the prisoner, but for the police officer as well. And I remember I gave her half the sandwich, and I just turned to my right to grab the can of Coke. And when I turned back to her, there was no more than, I think, probably 2 seconds. The sandwich was gone. And that stuck with me. Even to this day, talking to you about it now, that even the hair on my neck still stands. And it reminds me, you know, we see Swami himself, how many times we've seen video clips, the Lord himself bending down, scooping out the rice and serving somebody who's less fortunate than all of us standing surrounding him, and the person gratefully receiving that. I experienced that from this prisoner. And it was an image in my mind, like she looked at me and all she could say was, I've been arrested, and I'm not tooting my own horn. Believe me, I am far from perfect. And I will openly admit that to you and the listeners of this esteemed radio station. But she said, I've been arrested quite a lot of times, and you're the first one who actually took care of me. And I just said, and I remember folding my hands as any other side devotee would. I said, ma'am, we here at the New York City Police Department want to make your stay with us as comfortable as possible.
Sounds like Holiday Inn or something. Okay.
And she laughed, my partner laughed, and nothing was said ever again about it. When we got to the courthouse, we lodged the prisoner. I let her finish the sandwich. Okay. She was fine. My partner on the ride back, he goes, because I keep a photograph of Swami on my desk, he goes, that was your friend Sai Baba's volunteer work, I guess, huh? I go, yeah. Yes, yes, yes it was. I said, I'm missing one program. It was a program was going on today. So I said, this is my contribution. He says, okay. He says, good enough. I can deal with that. And I can still see her face. I can still see the whole scenario playing out. Here I am in Puttaparthi, and I still remember the whole scenario playing out in East Harlem in the police precinct parking lot after coming from the deli. We don't necessarily, unfortunately, in today's day and age, you don't hear a lot of the good things that police officers do on a daily basis. I have the opportunity here to just share one story of mine that I've learned because of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba's teachings in Sai spiritual education. Service to man is service to God. And I have the opportunity to do that through my duty.
And it's wonderful for us to hear it from Sai youth, because These are times of great shift in consciousness and also in the Sai movement. And as we can see in light of the Mahasamadhi, it is the Sai youth who are going to be the torchbearers and take this message out into mainstream society beyond the precincts of the Sai Center.
Yes.
So to actually get into society, and whether it is the police department, criminal justice, law enforcement, everywhere, to bring Swami's teachings and make them so commonly appreciated, that is the torch that the youth have to bear. I'm sure, Sai Krishna, you have many more stories and lessons to share with us. So
right.
Keep going.
Right. It's and I just agree with your point that, yes, the youth have been given an opportunity.
And Swami's counting on the youth.
Exactly. We it is our duty and responsibility as Sai youth in whatever profession.
Precisely.
To carry Swami's mission on to our children, to their children, to their children, so that Swami's name never gets lost in the process. There was, there's several experiences that I have. I can tell you, dealing with people and being reminded of when Swami is within everybody. I can tell you, as you know, I do make arrests, and sometimes they don't go as by the book as I'd like them to. Sometimes it can be a little bit rough in a lot of major cities in America. Police do have a tough job dealing with people who don't want to be arrested, because let's face it, nobody calls the police to say, "Hey, I want to go to jail today." So we are called to basically, we have to bring chaos to order. This is what we signed up for. This is our responsibility. This is our duty. And this is what society has entrusted us to do with the powers in the Constitution of the state of New York, or whatever state the law enforcement officer works. So several times I've had to, not several, many, many times, I've had to deal with prisoners who don't want to be arrested. And when putting the handcuffs on them, I have to actually say in my mind, "Swami, I'm arresting you. Please stop resisting." But I'll say "stop resisting" out loud if the person is resisting. But when it comes, "Swami, be compliant. Please, I want to go home today. You need to be compliant." And hands down, "Stop resisting. I'm placing you under arrest. Please stop resisting." And this is going back and forth in my mind. If somebody's hearing you in my mind, they must be going, "This poor detective is nuts." But this is what I believe. Sometimes I don't like it, the fact that Swami is in everybody, because sometimes you want to deal with these prisoners in such a way that, why are they doing this to you as a law enforcement? I'm just doing my job. But like I said earlier, who wants to go to jail? Nobody. So many times I've had to deal with, "Please stop resisting." And it works.
The moment you bring the Swami in.
Yes. I will attest, thousands. It may not be instantaneous, but it'll take some time. A couple of times, as part of the process, when you get arrested in New York City, your basic pedigree information is taken. You're then brought to a holding cell. You're searched, then you're fingerprinted and photographed. Sometimes people don't want to get fingerprinted and photographed. And if it's my turn to take the prisoners down to the courthouse, that means it's going to be a very long day. So I say, "Swami, please get fingerprinted and photographed. I want to go somewhere tomorrow. I don't want to be here until 4:30 in the morning. Please, Swami, be compliant." It may not take that instant, it may not be in that instant, but it will definitely happen, where the prisoner will say, "Ah, you know what, if you talk to them with love, stern love, excuse me, and respect, they'll be compliant." I can say only one time it hasn't worked. When I was even baffled, I said, "Swami, I talked to you with all love and care and everything. I still never understood why." I did understand the next day that the person got fingerprinted and was compliant. I said, "Maybe I need to work on my delivery of love and and effort and everything like that." And there was one time in particular a few years ago, I think I only had a couple of years on the force, where really Swami was there. Swami was even talking to you about it now. I've shared this story when I've spoken at various other centers. when I spoken to the Sai Spiritual Education students, group 1 through 4, several years ago while working on the beat, I'm working patrol in Brooklyn, over our radio had come that the central dispatcher was putting, there was a man running through the housing projects with a gun.
I don't mean to be rude, but I just want you to share with our listeners that all police officers have a nickname on the radio, and you have one too.
Yes, I do have a radio nickname, as a lot of police officers, senior police officers do. Before, I guess, the day of cell phones, they used to always have a radio name. And so, as I said before earlier, that I keep a picture of Swami on my desk. But before I was a detective, I was a patrol officer, and I used to keep a picture of Swami in my locker, and I keep a picture of Swami in my hat. So my colleagues would always ask, oh, who's that guy with the afro? Who's this? Oh, he's Sai Baba. Oh, Sai, your name's Sai. So because Bhardwaj is a little bit of a complicated name just for some people to say, my radio nickname became Baba.
Hmm.
So even people who don't necessarily believe in Swami, I call it inadvertent namasmarana. Because they're saying
the
Baba.
The dispatcher is telling Baba.
But they're saying, or even another, even if my colleague is trying to raise me on the radio, Baba, Baba, come over here, Baba, come over here. Okay, I'll be right over, buddy.
So when Baba was called to Harlem, what happened?
No, this was this incident was in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
This one was in Brooklyn. And so the radio, the job came over. And it's what's known as a priority job.
Mm-hmm.
All other jobs
can be dropped.
Have to be dropped, especially if you have a confirmed call of a man with a firearm displayed or running anywhere with a firearm. So this same instance had happened. Description comes over the radio. Everybody is going. Police cars are coming from every which direction. So all the cars were going one direction. Myself and my partner, I said, listen, everybody is covering the back of the building. Why don't we go to the front of the building? Because if this person comes through the back of the building and there's nobody in the front of the building, this person can run out and be gone. So we did just that. Everybody went through the back of the building. My partner and I went through the front of the building. And I was the first one into the front of the building. Well, the rest of the team, the rest of the patrol officers hadn't come through the back of the building yet. And who's standing in front of me? I see wandering in the hallway, the man with the firearm. Man, I immediately draw my firearm. Excuse me, I immediately take my firearm out. And I say, police, don't move. Standard, I resorted right back to my training. And the man turned around and pointed the gun right at me. Right then and there, I would have been legally justified to pull the trigger and use lethal force. I would have, there was a firearm pointed at me, there was a deadly weapon, there was an instance of my safety being jeopardized, the threat was no more after that, had I shot him. As I was about to pull the trigger, I remember, on my firearm, there is a safety right on the trigger. So when you depress the safety, you're basically at the point of no return. And I'm yelling commands to this person, drop the gun, drop the gun, drop the gun, drop the gun. And just as I'm about to shoot him, you have tunnel vision. All you could see is the person in front of you, and I could see my supervisor standing off in the corner, holding everybody at bay. Because if they come in as I shoot them, then I could quite possibly shoot them as well. And I remember, clear as day, all that was said in my mind was, Sai Ram. Nothing was going through my mind. Just, I was resorting to my training. Police, don't move. Drop the gun. Drop the gun. Sai Ram. I immediately let go of the trigger for some whatever reason. And I said it again. Drop the weapon. He dropped the gun. Now, I'm telling you this. It's taken me about a minute or so, or 2 minutes to just explain this entire story. This was in a matter of 15 or so seconds. He dropped the gun. He was tackled to the ground. Thank God, thanks Swami, I didn't shoot him. To this day, I say I'm so thankful I didn't shoot him. Because he was an off-duty police officer.
Undercover?
Off-duty.
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 But how can an off-duty police officer walk around with a firearm?
I'm glad you asked me that. The central dispatcher didn't put over the radio the job before.
Oh, I see.
That there was a shots fired job. Somebody's car had gotten shot. And it was an off-duty police officer with his child in the car. He got out and was giving chase to the other person with the firearm. But when people called 911, which is the United States emergency hotline, as well in Canada as well, they only saw him, the off-duty police officer.
So they gave the description of the wrong person.
Mm. I would have been justified. I would have fulfilled my duty, no problem. But to shoot a fellow brother in blue, as is the common phrase in the United States, brothers and sisters in blue.
NYPD blue.
Yeah. I wouldn't have wanted that on my conscience.
Mm.
And I'm so thankful to Swami to this day, several years later. You know, Swami really comes through in the nick of time, and sometimes in the most obscure ways we're reminded of it. I even remember just a small experience with Swami in 1998, just to Swami to remind us of his love and compassion. In 1998, my mother was very ill. She had some heart infection. And the doctor basically told my father and I, so there's nothing more we can do. Okay. And I remember my father telling me, and I even remember my mother saying, I can see Swami, I can see Christ, I can see my brother, I can see. So, in essence, we thought she was hallucinating. But I do remember my mother saying, go to Puttaparthi and just bring back some prasad. And my mother is, I come from two cultures. I am half Indian, my father is from the state of Uttar Pradesh, and I am also half Spanish, my mother is from Puerto Rico. So for my mother, being a devout Catholic, who is a very ardent devotee of Swami, knows all the Hindu holidays, festivals, she may have a hard time saying the names, but she's very well versed, she can even say Rudram. For her to say, go get Swami's prasad, you know, looking back now, that is...
fate.
Well said. So we went, my father and I went to Puttaparthi, and the second day Swami called us for an interview. And I remember, I believe I was 16 years old. I was in the 10th grade, I think. Yes, I was in the 10th grade in high school. And I remember asking Swami, interview? Yes. And all through walking to the veranda, my father is asking me, are you sure you heard Swami say yes? Are you sure you heard Swami say? Are you 100% sure? And I'm saying, yes, 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 go. We have to go. And we got to the veranda, and Swami starts speaking to my father immediately in Hindi. My Hindi is very dangerous, so I couldn't understand what was going on. So we went inside, Swami called us in, we went. And after, you know, engaging in discussion with Swami, Swami was inquiring about everybody. Swami is really an excellent host. Are you comfortable? Do you want the fan? I'll put the fan on. He got up himself, he put the fan on. In short, everybody was seated comfortably. Such a tremendous host. I always remembered that, even in 1994, when he blessed us with an interview, as well as 1998. So Swami called us into the personal interview room. Immediately my father and I started crying. One of the few times I've seen my father cry. And Swami said, don't cry. Crying is a waste of time. Interview over. We said, no, Swami, we're sorry. We're very sorry. So immediately again, my father and Swami were conversing in Hindi. So I'm sitting there, don't really understand. I knew a few words here and there. And then all of a sudden, my father started talking English. And he said to Swami, Swami, Nelly is very sick. My mother's name is Nelly. Swami, Nelly is very sick. And there was a small pause, and Swami said, ha, I know. I have visited her. I have blessed her. She will be okay. Don't worry. I am with her. And my father was again sobbing. He says, oh, Swami, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Swami. So Swami then looked to me. Bharadwaj, what class are you studying? Swami, I'm in 10th grade. Oh, 10th grade. Very nice. And he just stared at me. And now going back, even through my experiences as a police officer, I understand, I'm beginning to understand why everything was said to me at that interview. And Swami just looked at me and says, Bharadwaj, you worry too much. I'm 16 years old in the 10th grade. Am I going to tell God, no, you're wrong? As even though I may tell my argue or disagree with my parents, saying a typical 16-year-old, no, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. No, not the case. Hiya, Swami, I worry too much. Don't worry. Worry brings high blood pressure. Yes, Swami, worry brings high blood pressure. Then again, a small pause. And just as you're looking at me, Swami looked right into my eyes and said, do not worry. And he took his right finger and he demonstrated. He said, do not worry. I am always with you. And he pointed to my heart. He says, I am always with you. Above you, below you, beside you, around you, and again within you. Now you can see the gestures. He went up, he went down, he went to my side, he went around, and again he pointed to my heart. And it wasn't until I became a police officer and got older, became an adult, even though I'm still a kid at heart, that I'm starting to realize that Swami is really with us. Just because he's had the physical departure, yes, it was extremely difficult for everyone, not a lot of us, it was everyone. Anybody who tells you, oh, Swami, I didn't miss Swami's physical departure, Sairam, have a nice day, sir. But now I realize Swami is there with us every step of the way, whether we like it or not. We have to be ready for that, because the road is not a smooth paved road. New York is known for its potholes. So you have to be ready anytime you're going to hit a pothole and whoop, there's a jolt. But Swami was with you with that. Swami was with you. Swami was with me when I had the gun pointed at me. Swami was with me when I pointed my gun back at him. You know, I remember a lesson from Swami. Every aspect of our work is worship. Work truly is worship, as I said at the beginning of this interview. Also, a few years ago, while on patrol, we had received a radio call that there was some type of unknown activity going on the rooftop. Now, I was a housing cop in Brooklyn. To anybody who's familiar with New York City, when you say housing cop, they automatically know projects, urban areas, low-income areas, high crime-ridden areas. So being a housing patrol officer, whenever something comes over the radio that somebody is on the roof, that is an automatic arrest circumstance. No questions asked. So I remember coming up the building, on one end of the building, and as I came out, I see somebody on the roof, some distance away. Again, this was several years ago. And all I could say was, hey. Immediately he jumped off the building.
Oh, God.
And I remember saying, Sairam. And then I went, I said, Sairam. No sooner did I say Sairam, immediately I was on the radio. Central, I need an ambulance, I need a supervisor, I need the investigator, I need the investigators, this, and this. I don't know what reasoning it was that I had to see that. As a law enforcement officer, I have seen a lot probably that most of your listeners have not seen.
Or maybe only on a show.
Precisely. I still don't understand why I had to see that. But I still remember running down the stairs to where the person whom was now deceased, and all I could just say was Sairam. That's all I could say was Sairam.
I hope it helped the person's soul.
So did I.
Mm.
Whatever act he had done, yes, there was some
history,
some background as far as what had happened that led to him unfortunately taking his own life.
Mm.
But even Swami is there in that aspect. Swami is not always going to be in the most pleasant of situations.
Mm.
Swami is in every situation. Swami is every situation.
Mm.
Swami is everything.
And this is not the first suicide case or I think you would have handled?
Yes. Fortunately, unfortunately, I do try to bring humor into everything. And I remember there was another case. A man wanted to take his life. He had the knife to his throat. So again, resort.
Where was he?
He was in an apartment. This was in an apartment in Brooklyn. Brooklyn was very good to me, as you can derive from. And I remember taking my gun out. Police, you know, dropped the knife. He didn't want to. I took out my mace spray. He didn't want to. So I remember jokingly tell him, listen, buddy, you're either going to do this or you're not. It's going to be more paperwork for me if you don't do it. So if you're going to take your life, then just take your own life and let's just hurry this along because I want to go eat my lunch. And my partner looked at me like, what did he just say? the guy's family is looking at me like, what kind of police officer is this to come say this in our house? He's about to take his own life and he's talking like this. And the guy looks at me and goes, what's that supposed to mean? I said, you heard exactly what I said. You either do this or you don't. Nobody has time for this. You either, come on, let's go. Aw, man. He immediately dropped the knife. In fact, he threw it to the ground.
He was upset.
He was upset that I took, I guess, whatever out of him that he didn't want to.
You didn't care. You were not caring enough.
I didn't care. Yeah. I guess I skipped that one Balavika's lesson of love for that day. And immediately he was totally compliant. He says, officer, come on, let's go to the hospital. Okay, buddy, come on, let's go. Put him in handcuffs, and off we went to the hospital. And meanwhile, what I didn't say was, my heart was racing a million miles a minute. I couldn't believe what I had just said. And I'm looking and I'm saying, Swami, you better fix this, because otherwise I'm going to have a big problem. And Swami came through. Swami comes through in all circumstances. It may not necessarily be to something we would want it to go as, but it may also, but it will come through in a manner that is definitely good to all of us, that is beneficial to all of us. Recently, if you've been following the news, Pope Francis had come to New York.
That is right. It made big news. It was about the same time when the Indian Prime Minister was visiting the Silicon Valley.
Yes. So there was a lot of...
Two superstars.
Oh, yes. But Prime Minister Modi was on the West Coast.
Yes.
And Pope Francis was on the East Coast. So I had volunteered for this papal duty. Some of my friends called me crazy. Why are you volunteering? Why are you this? Why are you that? I said... I explained. I said, "No, the sight of a holy man is a good omen." What do you know? And even to the Sai people, they said, "Oh, you're working Pope security?" I said, "Yes, I'm going to have darshan of the Pope." And everybody understood it. They got a kick out of it, you know, because to Catholics, this is their spiritual teacher.
Of course.
So.
And a much loved and respected one.
Yes, one of the most loved and respected popes. He's very simple and very humble.
That is
and
right.
Even some of the stuff that he says is similar to what Swami has said.
You are right. Sometimes it resonates. Most of the time it resonates Swami's Satyasai Speaks. I always say maybe he just took a leaf out of Satyasai Speaks.
You might be right. You might be right. So that was, I think, one of the most memorable, if not the most memorable, for two reasons. A, I got to see the Pope. I was in such close proximity to the Pope that as we sit here at this round table, where I stood, the Pope was on the other side. He was giving darshan in his Pope mobile. But the other memorable part of it was that my mother was there.
And she's a Catholic.
And she is a devout Catholic. And in order to get tickets into, there was a lottery, it was a random lottery, and she was able to get tickets. And there's some benefits to being a police officer and a police officer's family, a law enforcement officer's family. So I was able to bring her to a special area that was for public safety and their public safety's family members. And I was able to bring my mother to the front. That to me was the best seva I could have done in my 32 years of being on this earth. I've given my mother and father a lot of grief over the years. Unfortunately, my father is no more, but when he was alive, I did give him a lot of grief and a lot of joy. I will say that in the same breath. But this was the highlight, that of anything that I could have done for my mother, if I take her out for dinner, I put the air condition in the window for her when it's summertime, I help her around the house, this was the highlight. And as I turned, when the Pope was driving by in Central Park, the Pope had done the sign of the cross, blessing everybody there. And who did I see looking directly at my mother? Pope Francis. Pope Francis had blessed my mother. Now, my mother has been profusely blessed by Swami so many times. This was just an added bonus. What more can a son ask for? As seva to his own mother. What does Swami say? Mother is God. So the little bit of seva that I did for my mother, forgive me, I'm not tooting my own horn, boosting my ego, but I do want your listeners to know that even the most minute of things, it can be abundantly grand to anybody who appreciates it. And I hope that makes certain types of sense.
Mm-hmm. So Sai Krishna, you have your license to use lethal force, and then you know that the greatest force on earth is love. Love, law, lethal. How do the twain come together, if at all, in your line of duty?
Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. I do my level best to perform my duty in what I was taught in Sai spiritual education, as it's known in India as Balvikas, and I try to apply those lessons. If I have to use lethal force, I will. It's my duty and responsibility to protect those who've entrusted me with this responsibility. If I have to, I will, so long it's legal and justified. At the same time, I want that to be the last option. Love should be the first and foremost, within reason. Again, I don't think people would appreciate thousands upon thousands of loving cops. Oh, yes, yes, we love everybody and nothing's getting done. You can clean up the streets only but so much with love. Sometimes it has to be tough love. Mm-hmm. Hey, stop doing what you're doing. My parents gave me tough love growing up.
You asked for it, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. I was many a times a victim of my parents' backhand. But it, again, tough love. Applying those, what you said, love and with lethal force, it's very difficult. Thanks be to Swami, I haven't had to use lethal force on anybody. I've had to physically restrain many people.
And your baton?
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, there was one instance when somebody was resisting arrest. We were all yelling, stop resisting, stop resisting, stop resisting. And the guy is kicking everybody at the same time. Kicking everybody very hard, too. He's a very, very strong guy. I remember even I looked at him. I said, thank God he's on the ground. Otherwise, if he was standing, I would have been chop suey. And I remember taking my baton out. And I had to, you know, strike him on the legs just to get him to be compliant. And as I'm striking him, not a lot of times, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. And it didn't work immediately, but I know by the sixth or seventh strike, he finally became compliant and he was able to be handcuffed and taken away in the
cruiser.
In the police cruiser, yes, where he was to be processed. Mm-hmm. There's been many times as a police officer and even just when I'm walking as an average citizen on the street, where I've had the opportunity to take the lessons that I've been trained as a police officer and that I've been taught by my upbringing of my parents, as well as lessons of Sai spiritual education. Even when you see people begging in the street in New York, unfortunately, in New York, we do have a homeless population who are really genuinely down on their luck, and they will beg for money, beg for money, beg for money. And, you know, we're always told, no, you don't give money because you don't know if they're going to buy drugs, liquor, something of that sort, that won't be beneficial, because then what you had intended to give didn't really go. I used the same example as before. you have an opportunity to buy somebody a sandwich, a cup of coffee in the cold weather, that's service there too. That's Swami's instructions. That's Swami's lessons. Just because I'm a police officer, a detective with the New York Police Department, doesn't mean I'm
a heartless person.
Exactly. I'm still a human being. Just like every single one of the other law enforcement officers with the New York City Police Department. They all have abundantly large hearts. And they will be the first ones to put their lives on the line for anybody, just as I would. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that with an ego. If there was a situation, I would by far, just as any other of my brothers or sisters in blue would, put their lives in the line to protect society.
Mm.
And that is an abundance of duty. That is an abundance of work is worship. Here we are taking the highest form of work is worship. Mm. If we have to push somebody to get out of the line of fire, so to speak, not in the literal sense, we would give our own lives. And even like I said, even going around anywhere, you have so many opportunities to put into practice what you've learned through Sai spiritual education, service, love, Swami's five human values, truth, peace, right conduct, nonviolence, and love. There's so many opportunities. And even those five human values are applicable as a police officer. Love. Show compassion to your victim. Because we don't always just deal with people who are getting arrested. We deal with victims of a crime. Show compassion. Love. Truth. When we are testifying in the court of law, we are sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the state of New York, as well as tell the truth. Otherwise, we'll be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Right conduct. Perform our duty with what we were trained, which is legal and appropriate. You can't just go up to anybody and randomly search them for no reason. We weren't trained. You have to be able to follow it. Peace. When there is chaos, it's our responsibility, our duty, to bring chaos to order. In a peaceful manner. Not everybody wants to take their baton and start whacking people going, Sairam, Sairam, Sairam. We want to do it in a peaceful manner.
Hmm.
And I think peace and nonviolence go hand in hand.
Right.
Because nonviolently, we want to bring a situation
under control.
Exactly. We don't... There have been many a times where even as a rookie police officer, I walked into an apartment and I see a lady holding a knife, an elderly lady, maybe 70 plus, and her husband, same age, he's holding his shoulder, he's kind of bleeding, and they're calm, collected, and it could have been a very violent situation. And I said, okay, can you tell me what happened here? Oh, officer, my husband threw the remote at me, so I stabbed him in the shoulder. Oh, okay. I understand why you would do that. Okay, no problem. Okay. With love, I ask her, ma'am, may I please have the knife? Oh, sure, no problem. No problem. Peacefully, I say, ma'am, can you please come here? My partner needs to speak with you. Very politely, we'd have to put her in handcuffs. And when the husband asks, why are you putting my wife in handcuffs? I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And he starts to become non-compliant. We have to explain through our truthfully and with right conduct, explain, sir, this is the reason why we have to arrest your wife. You are the victim of a crime. Well, I don't want to press charges. Sir, it's still our duty and responsibility as police officers. We have to uphold the law. We're sorry we have to do this. Swami's five human values right there. Look how... And even people... Now, mind you, I'm a devotee of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. My partner is not a devotee of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. But he knows... my previous partner. But he knows about Swami's five human values. And he's my senior. He's been doing this 17, 18 years. So for him to have his outlook change, based on Swami's five human values. I guess in essence, being in the police cruiser for 8 hours a day for so many years together, that was our Balvikas.
You were running your own Balvikas show in the police cruiser.
Exactly. I took him from group one to group four, right? Over the course of 5 years.
Clearly, you take Swami to work with you.
Yes.
What was the reaction of the precinct when the Mahasamadhi happened?
When Mahasamadhi happened, I had just been transferred to the narcotics division. And a lot of people in the narcotics division, as well as my old precinct, were aware of Swami because, when I was newly transferred, I had his picture on my desk. And even in America, Swami's physical departure made international headlines. And I, from my old precinct, I had about 8 or 9 people call me to offer their condolences on the loss of my friend. Imagine that. People who don't know anything about Swami. They only knew Swami because of what they saw in my locker, of what they saw in my hat, of what my radio nickname was. They knew he was a spiritual teacher, but they knew he was also somebody I revered as a human form of divinity. That's how I used to explain, one of the ways I used to explain, and who I also treated as my friend. They're calling me to say, "We're sorry on the loss of your friend. Is there anything we can do for you?" That is Swami. Swami is giving them the opportunity to be engaged with him, to inadvertently interact with him. That made me happy. Yes, we were all sad. Even my best friend, whom I shared a police cruiser with, and who I taught Sai Ram to, and all he wanted to do, he was visibly upset. He says, I've always heard so much about Sai Baba. I know you used to always go. He even knew what Dasara was, because I always used to go for Dasara.
To Parthi.
After my father had passed away. They were so, the love that I got from them, you can't compare. There's nobody else aside from your mother or your father who, that's Swami. I hope that makes sense to you and your listeners, that people who've never heard of Swami probably don't even care. But because they knew he was my friend, they still offered their condolences.
Very touching. You had a number of interviews with Bhagwan in person with your family since your childhood. Briefly, what do you recall of his advice to you as a young boy? Did he ever discuss your favorite choice with you?
No, Swami never did. The only... Swami was always humorous with me. I think I was the brunt of Swami's jokes sometimes. I remember my father, my mother and I, we were blessed in 1994 to have an interview with Swami in Whitefield. We had gone with the group from the New York area. And I remember Swami saying, I stood up, I was 11 years old. I said, "Swami, I have a question." "Boy, sit down, be quiet." The whole room started laughing. And I had the look on my face. I said, "Oh." He says, he says, "It's okay. You talk too much. You're a little fat, but you're still a good boy." And he slapped me on my cheek. So Swami may not have given me career guidance, but he gave me physical guidance. And even interacting with Swami, it was always a reminder that he's with me. And we do forget. I'll give one example. In 2007, my father had passed away.
Very difficult time.
Yep, it was a very trying time. It was, unfortunately, my father had suffered a lot.
Mm.
He was a cancer patient, and my mother especially had seen him wither away, so it was very difficult on her as well. So when my father had passed away, to show you Swami's love, but just to explain, when the funeral happened, I had no idea what was going on. I was very well said. I was numb.
Mm.
I was in my police dress uniform.
Mm.
Many officials had come from the police department, from the fire department, to offer condolences. And I had no idea what was going on. The priest would tell me, do this, do that, this, that, the third, this, that, and the third. And I would just mechanically do it, not understanding. But a couple of things were very vivid in what I remember with Swami's Divine Discourse, Vijayadashmi 2007, and as well as my father's passing in 2007. The pundit had told me to take two coins and place them on my father's eyes.
Closed eyes.
Closed eyes, yes. I didn't know what that meant. I never understood it. So in 2007, fast forward, my father passed away in August of 2007. In October of 2007, we had come to put my father's ashes in the Chitravati River. And Swami gave a divine discourse, and he explained, because that was Vijayadashmi is also Shirdi Baba's Samadhi Day. Everything that I had done in my father's funeral ceremony, Swami explained in this 2007 discourse of what was done for Shirdi Baba's funeral ceremony. The rice, the ghee, the coins. In fact, Swami materialized two coins, two gold coins that year. And I remember very vividly, and that's what brought me to tears. And I remember I had my uncle next to me, and he was consoling me. Swami materialized the two coins, and he said these were the coins that were placed on Shirdi Baba's eyes. And these coins symbolize Satya and Dharma, truth and right conduct. And Swami went on to say that you should only affiliate, I'm paraphrasing, forgive me, and I would recommend to your listeners that they do read this discourse from Vijayadashmi 2007, that you should only affiliate yourself with people who uphold Satya and Dharma. And that always stuck with me, especially as a police officer, when I got promoted to being a detective investigator, and even when I teach Sai spiritual education to the group 3 and group 4 kids, when I've gone to various centers to speak to them as well. I always remember that. That stuck with me. But again, look at Swami's love. I lost my father. My mother lost her husband. And Swami goes out of his way in a divine discourse to explain to us what we did. Because we had no clue what was going on. Now, to anybody else who was here listening, oh, Swami, that is very nice you were able to explain what happened during the time of Shirdi Baba. But to us, that's Swami's love. That made me so grateful to him. Because he went out of his way. And that's what made me revert back to remembering, I'm always with you, above you, below you, beside you, around you, within you.
And may he always continue to protect you in this armor of his love so that you may serve and serve and perform your duty with honor, with Satya and Dharma for decades and decades to come.
Thank you very much.
It's been a great delight and a lot of learning for me to listen to you. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back. Thank you for staying with Morning Glory on Radio Size Asia Stream. We are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, on the 10th of December, 2015. The current time in the ashram is 49 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and the current temperature in the ashram is 25 degrees Celsius. You just heard Learning with Love with Detective Sai Krishna Bharadwaj of the New York Police Department. I hope you enjoyed it. I look forward to your feedback. As always, you can email us your thoughts, suggestions, and any other comments at listener@radiosai.org. Now, before I leave you to enjoy a few promos of our latest offerings, which are available in our Sai Blossom store, Here is a very important and friendly reminder that Radio Sai's exclusive interview with All India President Emeritus of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization, Mr. V. Srinivasan, is coming up at 11:30 right here on Asia Stream. About an hour ago, my colleague Raghu interviewed him over the phone from Chennai, where he is overseeing the operations, the relief work, and Mr. Srinivasan will bring us up to speed about what exactly is happening and how each one of us can make a difference, contribute and help towards this mammoth project to bring Swami's love and relief to many families, thousands of families, no less than 20,000 families in 70 identified localities of Chennai, and bring them relief in a very dark, dismal hour where their lives have been turned upside down. So if you wish to participate and learn more about this relief project by the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization, please continue to stay tuned to Asia Stream. Coming up in about just over half an hour, you will hear this exclusive interview with Mr. V. Srinivasan. Now, as I wish you, bid you Sai Ram and wish you a Sai Sam awesome day, I'm going to play for you three promos on my way out. We have recently, on the auspicious occasion of Baba's 90th birthday, we have released some new products because a lot of our listeners wanted to have them on CD. One is called Stream of Bliss. Now, this is a collection of beautiful songs, Streams of Bliss, of all the songs that we released, the music that we released on every 23rd of each month in this year of the 90th birthday leading to the big 23rd of November. And all your favorite songs are there in full with beautiful music. And this particular product or offering is called Streams of Bliss. Then you can also enjoy the instrumental version of various beautiful bhajans. That's called Waves of Bliss. Now, we made the names tricky just to confuse you to see if our listeners are paying attention. So, Streams of Bliss is the vocal songs. Waves of Bliss is the instrumental. And then, our ever-popular Sai medleys, we have a collection of some special medleys, and I'll play that trailer as well for you, followed by a Qawwali. Now, this Qawwali is called Sai Ke Darbar Mein, and is very much a part of our Streams of Bliss CD. All these offerings are under the banner of Sai Blossom products and available in the Sai Blossom store located right outside the Radio Sai office. So till I see you next Thursday, be well, keep praying, and please say a special prayer for the city of Chennai. All of us at Radio Sai urge you to join us so that we pray to Mother Nature to have compassion on all of us and to bring Chennai to normalcy, to whatever degree of normalcy we possibly can, to help heal the pain and the wounds of those who have been affected, the two-legged, the four-legged, the human, the animal, sea life. Everything is upside down in many parts of that city. And if we can't help, the least we can do is pray. So please keep Chennai in your prayers. With that request, I leave you to enjoy some promos of our latest offerings from Radio Steam Radio Sai. Enjoy. The first one is called Streams of Bliss.
Welcome to the Streams of Bliss, our series of audio specials, which are pure devotional melodies produced in the Radio Sai studios as an offering to Bhagawan on his historic 90th birthday celebrations.
Namo Ratapataye Namo Ganapataye Nama Ramatapataye Nama Sreyasthulam Godaraye Kadantaya Vidhanashine Shivasutaya Varadamurtaye Nama
Vastambasu Prabhu Bharadvajasagoy Prabhu Sakale राम में है सब
गुरु मेरी पूजा गुरु गोविंद गुरु मेरा पार ब्रह्म गुरु भगवंत
दरबार में।
वेलकम टू द वेव्स ऑफ ब्लिस, अ सीरीज ऑफ ऑडियो स्पेशल्स बेस्ड ऑन साई भजन्स, प्रोड्यूस्ड इन द रेडियो साई स्टूडियोज एज एन ऑफरिंग टू भगवान ऑन हिज हिस्टोरिक 90th बर्थडे सेलिब्रेशंस।
Shiva Shambho,
స్వరూపిణి జననీ మా చరణ నమోస్తుతే తాయి మా చరణ నమోస్తుతే తాయి మా బాలాజీ గోవింద నారీశ్వరా బాలాజీ గోవింద నారీశ్వరా జయ పాండురంగ ప్రభో విఠలా జయ పాండురంగ ప్రభో విఠలా పండైనాథ విఠలా పండైనాథ విఠలా పండురంగ విఠలా పండైనాథ విఠలా పండురంగ విఠలా పండైనాథ విఠలా పండురంగ విఠలా పండైనాథ విఠలా గౌరీ శంకర గిరిజామన రమణ జయ మృత్యుం జయ మహదేవ మహేశ్వర మంగళ శుభ చరణా జయ మహదేవ మహేశ్వర మంగళ శుభ చరణా నందివాహనా నాగభూషణా గోవింద గోవింద గోపా సాయి గోవింద గోవింద గోపా సాయి గోవింద గోవింద గోపా స్మిత స్మిత సుందర ముఖార వింద నాచో నందలాలా శ్రీ సాయి పతి సాయి గంగాధర హర గంగాధర హర కైలాసనాథ ప్రభు శంకర
थे परमात्मा मिलने का ये मौका ये सिलसिला है सदियों का साईं के दरबार में
जी हाँ जी हाँ जी
साईं के दरबार में जो आए वो देख जो देखे वो जाने
जो आए वो देखे जो देखे
साईं के दरबार में
जी हाँ जी हाँ जी साईं
परंपरा पुरानी बदल गई है आज
कालीघटा छाई है कलयुग की आज
कालीघटा छाई है
कालीघटा छाई है कलयुग की आज
कालीघटा छाई है कलयुग की आज
मगर इस घन घोर अंधेरे में ये रोशनी के धर से उठी है
मानो यानो मानो आकर देखो जानो मानो यानो मानो आकर देखो जानो साई के दरबार में आओ जिया सुन लो साई के दरबार में
दरबार में
प्रेम स्वरूप लारा
हैप्पी 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 बी हैप्पी हैप्पी मेक अदर्स हैप्पी ऑल विल बी हैप्पी गॉड विल बी हैप्पी
ईश्वराय विद्महे
स्वरूप ला रहे
हैप्पी 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 बी हैप्पी 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 मेक अदर्स हैप्पी ऑल विल बी हैप्पी गॉड विल बी हैप्पी
ईश्वराय विद्महे
Yeah.
आँखी सी धड़कन तुम्हारी सांसों में बसती है तू मेरी माँ
दिल की